Ooh, that's new.
I know.
All right, so let's come to order. Mr. Cross, would you please call the roll?
I would be happy to. Peggy Holly?
Present.
Ellen Hartz?
I'm here.
Mark Harvey? Charles Gaskin? Patricia McQueen? Tori Gonzalez?
Here.
Al Fleischer Jr.?
Present.
We have a quorum, and for staff, Director Cross is present as well.
Excellent. Do we have any comments from the public on non-agenda items?
We did not receive any comments from the public to enter into the record.
Okay. And looks like Chuck is joining us. Thank you, and good evening, and welcome to everybody. Are there any corrections to the minutes of 23 June?
Staff did note one, actually two minor ones. So on page two of the minutes, when we look under new business, under agenda item B of that, the applicant is identified as ALP. That should be ALPS acquisition.
Okay.
And then also agenda item C, the same thing. So staff will make those changes if approved by the commission.
All right. Any other additions or corrections to the minutes of 23 June? Hearing none, minutes are approved with the corrections noted from staff. Thank you. And let us then move on. We need to open a public hearing on case 21 PC 21-13. The applicant is One Family Church requesting approval of a major subdivision for a condominium conversion at 6350 Delmar, otherwise known as the Tivoli. A vote is required.
A note for the record, Madam Chairman. This item actually does not require a public hearing. That was an error in the application.
Okay.
As well as much as we try to avoid them, we want to clarify that the applicants will actually be associated. It would be Tivoli Building LLC. We just want to make sure that's clear for the record, because when we forward any recommendation to the City Council, we'll want it to reflect Tivoli Building LLC as the applicant, because they are the current owner and are working to move forward with this request.
Okay, so since we've opened a public hearing, I presume that we need to close a public hearing.
Yes, yes.
Officially. So we have case PC 21-13, the applicant is Tivoli Building LLC requesting approval of a major subdivision for condominium conversion. Vote is required. So, Mr. Cross, would you please present staff's position?
I would be happy to. There's not really a lot to present with this case. I think you've seen this type of scenario in the past with some of our planned developments, and specifically that there's traditionally some conditions associated with them that require a lot consolidation or a subdivision or something to similar to that effect. Now, with this particular item, if you recall, this came back before you for the conditional use permit for the religious institution operations at a prior meeting, was ultimately forwarded to the mayor and council, who approved the conditional use permit and, in a sense, the layout associated with future uses. The reason we brought this here tonight before you is this is simply trying to remain consistent with the zoning ordinance, because when they are moving forward with this, they will have a change of ownership that will represent a condominium type of format. And if you want to remain consistent with our ordinance, and specifically the subdivision regulations, it defines subdivision. And one of the things that fall under a subdivision is when you create a condominium form of ownership. Mm-hmm. So we are just bringing this to you tonight as a cleanup, and to remain consistent with the ordinance and seeking the formal process and quite this formal recommendation from you to move forward with allowing for the ultimate approval of the recording of a final plat to represent the new condominium type of development. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have tonight, but it's pretty straightforward and it's really just a formality to remain consistent with a previously approved use.
I have a question. Is it okay to ask it now? Mm-hmm. Peggy, you're muted.
Yes, thank you.
So are these proposed 14 condos already apartments that are being in use at this time, or are these going to be built out? I couldn't tell.
These are all the same. There's nothing, my understanding is there's nothing new changing with this development. This is just the process of allowing for the change of ownership.
I see.
If they go to change the uses, and I'll tell you, you've already built in a sense, and the city will, a kill switch if they're going to try to add units and change uses, because the parking numbers that were determined as part of both EUP and ultimately the agreement were based on the current use. So that use is locked in at this point.
Because that was my concern, if they were going to have to find more parking space. Okay, great. Got it. Thank you.
So looking at the prints, this puts residential street front in core commercial, correct?
Correct. That already exists and is already, and bear in mind, change of ownership does not change the ability to continue a use.
Say,
for example, if this was a legal non-conforming grandfathered use, the only way you really lose that is if you cease or vacate that for a period exceeding 12 months or voluntarily vacate that. So the use continues with the property and not so much the owner.
Okay. All right. I have an administrative question. As I look at our PDF package on page 8, it mentions that the Plan Commission is required to approve the applicant to proceed with the preparation of improvement plans. Is that a separate motion?
No, that's just the verbiage that's associated with the ordinance. This goes back to the very similar issue that we saw with, I'm trying to remember what the prior use was. In a sense, one of the like Vicks project or the Costco project, those are really built in place to accommodate any need for bonding, development, or improvements between the preliminary plan to the final plan approval. Everything is already in place, infrastructure's in place. So in a sense, you're going directly to the final plan. That's why we mentioned the waiver of the preliminary plan, and you can make that within your
motion. All right.
The other thing I would recommend is when you do that, the original plans that were sent to you, and we've got some updated ones that will be forwarded to the mayor and council, are ultimately signed if the mayor and council approve it, which I believe they would follow any recommendation of the commission. Ultimately, the verbiage on the final Mylar that will be signed and recorded would need to represent final plan or final plat as opposed to preliminary plat or preliminary plan. Mm-hmm. So those are the two conditions I would say you'd want to make.
All right. Vote is required. Do I hear a motion to recommend that council approve a major subdivision at 6350 Delmar, including the waiver of the preliminary plat requirements?
I'll make the motion.
So, we don't need a second. That's a good thing. Is there any further discussion?
Who do I record that motion to?
Charles Anderson. I think Chuck was first on that one.
Well, okay. Thanks.
And then I just want to make sure that you got the condition in there as well, that it would be retitled as a final plat prior to recording.
That is
correct. Retitled as a final plat?
Yeah.
Got it. All right. Any further discussion of the topic? Other questions for Cliff? Hearing none, will all those in favor please signify by raising your hands and please hold them up until we have a count. Would appear that we have five in favor. And since we have five present, that looks like a unanimous vote. Thank you.
Thank you.
That measure is approved. We do not need to take a break. That's marvelous. So our next item of business is case. It's marvelous. We've actually finished our first item of business and we're less than an hour and a half in. It's a wonderful thing. The next item of business is case PC21-14. The applicant is Fisher and Fritchell requesting a major subdivision lot consolidation. Mr. Cross, would you please present the staff report?
There's really not a lot to present on this one. This one's even simpler. This was a previously existing single family or residential lot that had a home on it years ago. The home probably was actually non-conforming in the fact that it probably was on two or three different lots at one time. It probably came across the setback requirement. The applicant is proposing to ultimately construct a new home on the property. And based upon that, they need to have a buildable lot. To get to that point to have a buildable lot, they are requesting a lot consolidation. So this is one of those circumstances where you're actually taking unbuildable lots, so to speak, and you're making one larger buildable lot. This lot will exceed the minimum building requirements for a single family residential residentially zoned property, which is 6,000 square foot with 50 foot of frontage, quite a bit. So what they are requesting tonight is a lot consolidation via the process to get this recommended to mayor and council for approval so they can ultimately construct their single family home that's consistent with the underlying zoning district that currently exists for the property. So it's pretty basic. I mean, most communities, if it's four lots or less and fall under a certain acreage, most of this is traditionally handled administratively. Unfortunately, with the way our ordinance is written, it does require that it go through this process. So we're bringing it before you tonight is just to remain consistent with the ordinance and get it get the lot line erasers completed and get it in place to be a buildable lot. Now, bear in mind, even if the subdivision's approved, there's still the underlying zoning district regulations, the potential infill development regulations that will still regulate any future action on the property. So by doing this this final plat, you're not in any way approving a certain concept or plan. You're just simply making this consistent and compliant with the code. So we're recommending approval of this and bringing it before you tonight and be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Great. Any questions for staff? Tori?
Yeah, this is out of curiosity. Do they own all three plots?
They do. It is actually under, I could potentially show a share screen if you want, but
if you look
like the county tax bill, they're all under one tax bill. And I think sometimes people get the misconception when you look at the county GIS and it's all one large parcel, you automatically assume it's one legal tract of record. Mm-hmm. And that's not always the case. It could be three legal descriptions or three lots. They just have the one locator ID number, so they only get one tax bill. But it's still technically three legal lots of record. Usually you see it the opposite. This is going the other way. Right. Or they're doing us a favor, to be honest, to consolidate it and make it buildable.
Okay, just curious. Thanks.
Chad.
This is just so I was looking at the map, but this is the vacant lot on Swarthmore and Old Bottom. It kind of borders both sides. Okay, I know it.
Yeah.
And there's like new construction right next door to it right now. Is that where this is?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Perfect.
Correct. The only thing I would have been concerned about if there were some buildable building setback lines, but I didn't see a lot of those. So you're not really altering any potential indentures or covenants or anything like that. So that would have been the only potential concern are easements and things like that. The infrastructure and the laterals are not going to change. They're still there. So there's no concern with them being able to provide the infrastructure for a new lot. Everything's in place. You're just making one lot now instead of three.
Other questions? Is the applicant or representative present who wishes to speak?
I do have Mr. Fisher here in case you had any questions. I think he's here and he'd be happy to answer any that you have. I told him I didn't know how many there would be based upon the proposal, but he is here if you'd like for him to jump and be present.
Yeah, certainly, guys. I apologize. I couldn't get Zoom to pick up my webcam, but I promise you, you guys aren't missing anything. So if you have any questions for me, yeah, I'm here to answer.
Great. Thank you. So are there any questions from members of the commission for staff or the applicant? Hearing none, is there a motion to recommend to council approval of the proposed major subdivision contingent upon waiver of the preliminary plat requirement?
I'll make the motion.
Great. Al, thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, will all those in favor please signify by raising your hands? And let the record show that is five of the five present commissioners who have voted in favor. That makes that unanimous approval of the measure. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, guys.
This has got to be a record. 20 minutes.
Well, I think you guys have made up for it with some of all the work you guys have done over the last year and a half.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, I'm sure we can still mess it up, though.
Don't do that. I'm on vacation, guys. Come on.
Do we have any updates on the code review or the comprehensive plan?
Well, the comprehensive plan, I know Mr. Rose is working with the assistant city managers to work on moving forward with the visioning process. Which will be the start of the comprehensive plan. I believe they have actually, and Councilmember Hells could have probably answered this better than me, but I think they've gone ahead and they've approved moving forward with that at this time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now what they will do is they will start to coordinate that visioning process. As they move forward with that, then we're gonna be tasked with starting to move forward with the technical portion of the plan's development and starting to look at moving forward with the RFP potentially for the consultant who will actually construct the plan based on the visioning and all the information that's compiled. Mm-hmm. We'll know more as the visioning process moves forward and definitely be able to provide you a monthly update as we move along. I'm guessing that will probably take 4 to 6 months. And then what we will start to do probably in about 4 months, start to generate the RFP when we have a better understanding of the visioning process and where we are. And, mm-hmm. We can move forward.
I want to ask, so are you saying that the company to conduct the visioning process has been hired and they're going to begin to do work? And are we going to be in the loop about what's happening and what the meetings are and that kind of thing?
They're working on selecting the visioning committee, if I recall correctly. And I think council is going to work to move forward with making those selections to represent the stakeholders, so to speak, and the visioning committee. And then after that is completed, they will start that process. Then we will move forward have better direction in how to move forward with the technical components of it. Mm-hmm. Now, can that change? That's, you know, that's something that comes out of the visioning process and the experts in terms of, you met the consultant who's going to, it's David Burley, and was it the Fusion IQ were the folks who are going to do it. If you recall, the original two consultants that we ultimately brought in for the final interviews, one of them we felt was much better at the visioning process because they thought outside of the box a little more, and we thought that was something that might be needed here due to some of the issues that came up with the 2014 comp plan. And then we felt like the other group was better from a technical side and had more experience. So I think what ultimately Mr. Rose and the council have decided to do is let's get the visioning done, let's get everything in place, and then we can start to move forward with how do we want to put that on paper. And you know, Mr. Burley and his group may eventually come back and do that as well. But I know that they are the group that are doing the visioning at this time.
Mm-hmm. Because the visioning is that really needs to be done right. I mean, that's the like the heart of it. And I just hope it's done well.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think the goal is to make sure we don't get a cookie cutter visioning process that yesterday read Clayton and today reads U City. You know, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. That's the goal, to make right. sure they truly understand. And that's really the expertise of the visioning people. They learn and they know how to better understand the community. And once they do that, they can better create a visioning process mm-hmm. to get the true mm-hmm. community in that's needed.
So as, you know, since the city charter specifically gives the plan commission responsibility for the comprehensive plan, how do you think that the commission are going to be engaged in this process?
Well, without knowing exactly how that structure, I would guess that, obviously it has to come before the plan commission for your review and recommendation before it goes to council. So I would think that part of that process is going to make sure that at least one or two of you are directly involved to bring back and get input from the remainder of the commission. But that may be something that myself and one of you are tasked with doing, and then having a better than our responsibility to come to maybe potentially our subcommittee and ultimately the total commit the entire commission to get mm-hmm. final input and vetting on anything that ultimately comes out of the visioning process or is incorporated into the document.
Thank you.
Because the reality is you gotta have your buy-in, because ultimately, if you remember, the comprehensive plan is not a policy document, it's a policy guiding document. So your is gonna also be when we move forward with the development of a new unified land development code or form-based code or whatever it may be mm-hmm. that comes out of that visioning process, because you will actually be the ultimate manufacturer of the draft of the policy document that ultimately mm-hmm. for adoption.
Yeah. And I, as I recall, when we had one of our working sessions, we had some conversation about other potential policy recommendations to City Council, including things like, tax abatement guidance associated with, mixed income housing or, development in the Third Ward or in less economically affluent neighborhoods. Versus tax abatement for luxury apartments. So I believe we concluded at that point that those kinds of recommendations were still within the purview and the authority of the commission.
Well, yeah, when you review it and anything that you ultimately recommend, yes, that so because this is your document. I mean, it's your document. But the role of this document is ultimately to take your role and coordinate it with the other components throughout the city, tax, economic development strategy, stormwater master plan, those things that are not, you know, directly under the plan commission, but ultimately are always, but I would say 99.9% of the time associated with an application that comes before this commission.
Yes.
And you are the ones that ultimately send recommendations to the mayor and council. And to be consistent, you need to follow the guidance of that policy guiding document.
Okay, so is there any other new business to be brought forward?
Nothing at this point other than the discussion items.
All right. Mr. Hales had sent me, had called last night and left me a message that he was concerned about missing this evening's commission meeting. However, he pleaded that I guess the last 2 weeks for him personally and for council have been pretty brutal. So he said, he asked if he could just have dinner tonight.
Yeah.
And I told him I thought that was okay. And if he had specific issues, he could let me know and we'd move forward with those. But obviously this evening's business was pretty straightforward. So is there anything else that we need to address this evening?
Just to give you an update that we do need to start those code subcommittee meetings, because I know there are some amendments that's been brought to staff's attention that they would like. I know it came out from council for us to look at pertaining to uses. I do think that's one that we need to look at. Some additional things that I really think now that we got a little time and they're really not impacted by the comprehensive plan, because I try to hold off on big things until, you know, we get the new comp plan done. But let me give you an example of one. One of them is fence provisions, something that's been popping up quite a bit, and it's rare, is unique, I must say, to U City. So when you look at the design standards or fence requirements here in University City, we are one of the rare communities that don't specifically have it written in that says any fence that's constructed must be similar in design, nature, and or finished side facing out. So what I mean by that is, we're giving the fence, the individual who's constructing the fence, the option of putting the ugly side out towards their neighbors, as opposed to forcing them to bring it in.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It is terrible. And this is one of the few communities that I've ever seen that not be written into the ordinance. And it's been something that's been on my target list to address. We just have been so busy with other things. So the types of little bits of the pie that I think we can address immediately. And I want to start working on that and getting those done sooner than later.
All right. So would you, I'd be happy to send out a scheduling poll to see what everybody's availability is, so we can get that effort kicked off and make some progress.
And we do have that code committee and we do have that comprehensive plan committee, which brings one last thought. We may want to reevaluate who's on what and reappoint, because we have had some change in members since then. So, that's something else we may want to look at putting on our next official agenda item to make those appointments within.
Let's please do that. Yes. So we can get moving.
I have a question that has nothing to do with our responsibility, but I'm curious. When there is a building that clearly is dilapidated or way out of code for regard to repairs, And the city notices, I mean, like, what happens?
Well, this is something that came up, and Mr. Rosen, I actually talked to council about it a little bit. So one of the problems that has happened over the last few years is we've kind of got notice happy and violation happy without doing long-term mitigation to the issue. So what we have done in the code department is we are now following the nuisance declaration process, which is a formal process where we basically get an order as opposed to a citation to address it. And we're getting very active in seeking demolition orders. And in fact, I think we've got something like 7 of them now, and we're ready to get another batch of them. Our goal is to have about 25 or 30 of them at a time until we get to the point, and there's been funding put in place. And then we actually have the ability to go on there and demolish them. And we actually did 2 of them that a lot of people don't know about. Back, I think it was the middle part of June, we've actually completed 2 demolitions, and we have 2 more. We just got bids back, and we're getting ready to have them demolished this month coming up. So the goal is to ultimately, with the funding that we have, to be able to get a cycle of them where we're doing about 2 a month, and we're about to that point where we've got the stockpile of them to move forward.
And are these like single family homes or businesses or all of it?
Most of them are single family homes. And ultimately they could be, you know, unfortunately, most of them, they've been walked away from. So we still end up mowing them. But once we demolish them, we can look at the process of, in a sense, foreclosing on that lien that would be to them. And when we get ownership of them, then we could incorporate them into a housing plan where we can have a private public partnership. And then maybe we RFP a cluster of lots to a developer to come in and build privately on them.
So I see.
That's why I think clustering, I know that some people might not like it, especially if they got the one bad one next to them. But I think that's where clustering works a little bit better, because when you cluster, then you don't put a Band-Aid on one lot and a block. You
right.
have a problem with a block type of thing.
Yeah.
We that's kind of what I thought about, but Assistant City Manager Smith will be working on a housing plan. I'm sure she's got some thoughts on it as well that she can present.
And what about a building like the building that we dealt with for 3 months on Pennsylvania Avenue, there where the veterans had lived, and that looks like a blighted property. And is there any?
Well, we could follow the same demolition process, but I would say the cost on that would be, so with the nuisance declaration process, we in a sense can also get that order to force some sort of long-term plan to maintain that. The order just carries more weight because it is actually, in a sense, the equivalent to an injunction. By paying the $200 ticket, you don't resolve the problem. You've got to comply with the order, or you're continuously violating that order. And it's the building commissioner here can actually seek that order. Where I've come from in the past, we would take them directly to circuit court. Here, we get the order, and then if an aggrieved party is aggrieved by that, then they can appeal that to the circuit court. And if they don't, then our order stands.
Okay, thanks.
I think Pennsylvania's got a little bit more problem than just some tall grass or something. I see that as a long-term challenge.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough to deal with.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Any other questions, comments?
I think the only other comment I might have is it's possible that the brevity of this meeting may be the direct result of just the 6 of us that are here. If you get my drift.
All right, well,
I had one more thing. Cliff, you mentioned the email about the format for the meetings. Do we, is that something that you want to talk about? I'm just trying to figure out my schedule for the next couple of months.
And we talked about that. So we don't know what tomorrow's going to look like. We don't know what, I mean, everything keeps changing. So my understanding is, because it becomes tricky for us because we do so many public notices and I got to put them so far out, you know, if that's 15 days, a lot can happen. So my understanding is we can discuss with the commissions to get your preference at this point and then continue to move and have our future meetings based upon that. Do you want to have completely a Zoom meeting? Do you want to have, you know, in person? And this is your call as a commission. I think at this point, just because of the complexity of doing notices, if they come and I have to have it, because say, for example, all of a sudden an order comes and we can't do it. We've already done that notice and that application's gone for at least another re-notice period. So with the Zoom meetings, he's gonna have the Zoom meetings. So I guess what I'm seeking is what's your preference at this point? And then it's my understanding we've got the ability to move forward as a commission if that, you know, via that format, if that's what this commission wants as a whole.
Okay, okay. So so that input should probably come from all seven of us. And I know we're missing a couple this evening. You know, part of the conversation that I've had with folks literally earlier today was, you know, yes, they're vaccinated, but they're spending time with a very young grandchild who is unvaccinated. And so their response to mask or unmask, Zoom or in person, is not necessarily about them. It's about transmission to very young children. And so, you know, certainly everybody's, you know, everybody's circumstances are going to be different. And it's, you know, if your decision is about a family member who may be immunocompromised or whatever, that's okay, right? And it is not our business to know the reasons why. We just need to know your preference.
Well, I guess from my standpoint, I guess I was thinking about it from two ways. One, my own personal scheduling, but also just making sure that the public feels like they can come in and comment regardless of the environment. So I want to just make sure that we keep that.
Yeah, no, that's the biggest concern that I've heard. And fortunately for us, we've been a little different because we have so many public hearings. If you recall the way we notice, it talks about the opportunity for them to request their invite via Zoom, bring them in as a panelist, and they do get that opportunity to speak. And I think we've seen it multiple times. And they also have the option to submit the written comments. So the way our format has been is, in my opinion, has provided the best opportunity at this time to either speak personally or via written comment into the record. You know, but that's been a question. Is gonna want to come back face to face?
I think that it's the most important thing is for the business of the commission to be able to be conducted in a safe and healthy manner with the participation of as many people as want to participate, as Chuck said. And because we are in such a state of flux now with regard to the variant, it seems to me that sticking with Zoom for a few more months until things settle down, God willing, is not a hardship, because we have shown that we can hang in there with Zoom meetings for many hours and get work done. Yeah. So that's my opinion.
I agree.
Al, your thoughts?
Oh, no, I totally agree. I'd love to see meet everybody face to face, but as a practical matter, between what the city and the county executives are doing right now, trying to hold on to, and all the turmoil wrapped around that. I think if we just continue to, or continue as we have been with the Zooms, then we add a degree of sanity and consistency to the process. You know, I'm perfectly good with the Zooms.
Well, thank you all for your flexibility this evening. Like Al, gosh, it would have been fun to be in person. However, recognizing that, you know, we are where we are, counting a party when we finally get to do that.
And we want it to be the least possible hassle for you, Cliff. I mean, you just don't want to lose your mind over this with all the notices and it's just not necessary.
That's my biggest fear, because I can't do it. Like in this instance, when we decided with the numbers, it's just a, you know, the quick reposting within the 24-hour time frame, where if this had been a public hearing and been posted as a public hearing and we were forced to do that, we wouldn't even been able to meet. I would have had to contact the applicant and say, I got to post, got to redo, got to, you know, go through the whole process, got to send out all the new notices and so forth.
And I would hope we're giving the city population a degree of comfort by letting them know up front that this is our format for the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. And if you need any help getting in front of us, let us know, see what we can do.
Yeah.
Make that obligation and genuinely so.
All right. Other questions, comments? Hearing none, we are officially adjourned. Again, thank you for your time this evening and for your continued engagement as we move forward with the business of the city.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Stay safe, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.